Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
You know that cartoon gif of the guy holding like the club in his hand, and he's whacking the horse that's laying down there on the ground? Obviously, a reference to beating a dead horse. Y'all go ahead and get that one up and running here, because I know some of you are going to say, that's what I'm doing. But off the top of the program, I do feel like I have to point out something that I read at DogNation.com this week. I want to make sure you see it. Now, this is not a criticism from me for the recruit that said this, but it is an eye-opening statement in terms of some work that I think that Georgia still needs to do. As Georgia gets ready to close out its 2019 recruiting cycle in February, there are a few major targets still on the board. I'm fascinated to see how Georgia manages these numbers, which positions Georgia prioritizes, and what work Georgia's able to do to get this taken care of here for the class of 2019. But over the course of the long haul, beyond just 2019, one of the issues that I see facing Georgia is that need to upgrade the level of recruit that Georgia's bringing in at the wide receiver position. Another obvious response will end up being, yeah, BA, but what about Dominic Blaylock? And my retort is always, when Blaylock is referenced, that it's great to have Blaylock, and I believe that Georgia also needs more than just Dominic Blaylock when it comes to elite wide receivers in the program moving forward. With that in mind, how really top-flight receivers view Georgia is going to be really important here. Now, in just a couple of minutes, when Jeff Sintel joins us as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all, I will ask him about this quote, but I wanted to make sure you all saw this first. It's 2020 wide receiver E.J. Williams. He's from Phoenix City, Alabama. I believe that's the same high school that Justin Ross went to, the Clemson receiver. So this is a school that's got a pedigree of putting out really good wide receivers. E.J. Williams is sort of the latest in that line there. I took a recent visit to the University of Georgia, has talked to what Dog Nation and Jeff Sintel about that. And in terms of his viewpoint about Georgia, it's a favorable one. In terms of how he feels about the program, he really likes it. But there is something that he kind of also offers into this conversation that he also adds into this. And this is the part where I think that Georgia's really got some work to do. If you're watching a video, let me show you this quote. If you're listening radio or podcast, I'll obviously read it to you. What E.J. Williams, the four-star wide receiver, says is, I mean, right now, I fit at Georgia in my eyes. But here's where I think it gets really important for the work that Georgia's got to do going forward. He says, I fit well at Georgia in my eyes, even though they are a, and these words jump off the page to me, run-heavy school. That's a big thing for me, too. They don't throw the ball that much. That's E.J. Williams referencing his viewpoint about the Georgia offense. And, you know, listen, just based on the overall statistics, it's hard to deny what Williams says here. Obviously, Georgia is a program that has become RBU. You know, Todd Gurley in the Super Bowl, Sony Michel in the Super Bowl. That's a reputation that Georgia comes by honestly and naturally. And in terms of the overall balance between running plays and passing plays for the team right now, that's still an imbalance in favor of running the ball. But the point that I have been making, and obviously, I guess this to a certain degree comes from some sort of a red and black colored position, but the point that I've been making is that the presence of really good running backs at Georgia and the presence of really big dominant offensive linemen at Georgia shouldn't be a reason to dissuade wide receivers from wanting to come to the program. It really ought to be a reason why big-time wide receivers want to join up and be a part of the program, because as we've said before, just basic football 101, when you've got really big offensive linemen, when you've got really good running backs, you've now got safeties and, you know, extra defenders creeping into the box trying to stop the run, which ought to create more opportunities for one-on-one man coverage, for receivers to really exploit that, and for a guy like that at a position to really become a superstar, maybe put himself in the first round of the NFL draft based on the work that he does in college. Plus, to add to all of this, and I know I've mentioned this before, but when you look at the way the college football playoff was decided this year, when you look at the 5-year history of the college football playoff, almost every, not even almost, every national champion has had that elite near 1,000-yard receiver, and that's the threshold that Georgia also needs to cross over as well. Now, it's trying to do that work right now, and maybe it may already have the pieces in place to actually break through in this way in 2019. So let's also, you know, give the full context here. First of all, this past weekend, Georgia did have a chance to host a 5-star receiver in George Pickens. He's one of those guys that could, if he were to choose Georgia and everything works out with his, you know, path towards playing college football next season, he could be that perfect tandem to go along with another freshman like Dominic Blaylock. I guess you take this as a measure of good news. If you look at Pickens' Twitter header right now, and you go to his Twitter page where all his tweets are housed, the top of his Twitter header is him in that Georgia jersey going back to his visit last weekend. Now, that may just be the visit high, and that may not necessarily be signifying that Pickens is necessarily favoring Georgia right now over the school that he's committed to, Auburn, or the other schools like LSU and Tennessee that he's also considering. But it certainly doesn't hurt to have a guy like George Pickens showing himself in a Georgia uniform at the top of his Twitter headers. That's a degree of good news. And as Georgia fans who are listening to this right now or watching this right now are going to pound their fist and shout at their device, BA, you're still not giving enough credit to the receiver who will be at Georgia, the five-star guy, Dominic Blaylock. And listen, I want to make sure that we do give full credit and full description of the possibility of what Blaylock might be for Georgia next season. He truly could be a special player, both in terms of the tangible qualities, who he is as a football player, and those intangible qualities that he possesses in terms of his potential for leadership off the field and just overall level of dedication and commitment to working on his craft and getting better. I mean, in fact, when Blaylock has spoken to Dog Nation in the past, that's one of the things that he's talked about, that when he views himself, what makes him attractive to a program like Georgia, one of the reasons why Georgia was so interested in Blaylock for so long, as Blaylock himself explains, it's more than just what he does on the football field. In fact, here is Dominic Blaylock on that point.
He's a good player on and off the field, a quick player that's quick on the field and everywhere else, and just a player that's worked hard.
And one of the things you love about Blaylock in that regard is, while that clip and that quote certainly seems to have a little bit of humility baked into it, it's not the kind of humility that makes Blaylock want to shy away from the competition or makes Blaylock want to shy away from the really big goals in his first year at Georgia. Yes, he's going to be good on and off the field, not causing a lot of drama, you know, not causing a lot of diva-ish behavior, but in terms of his overall goals and objectives for the season, he does want to be a major part of the Georgia offense. I think that's great news. Georgia needs to highlight and showcase a receiver that has the talent level that Blaylock possesses, and it's great to hear Blaylock himself saying, I'm looking to come to Georgia and earn a big reputation for myself right away. Here is more of what he told to Jeff Sintel about that, going back to the All-American Bowl in San Antonio a couple of weeks ago.
When you get to Georgia, you're going to have an opportunity to play. How are you going to go about your business? What will be your mindset going in?
You know, just always work hard on and off the field, and just ball out and hopefully I get a starting position.
Now listen, as a 40-plus year-old dude with a pair of khaki pants on right now, the phrase ball out is probably not one I should be using on the regular basis, but if I could borrow that phrase from Blaylock here for a moment, balling out is exactly what Georgia needs a wide receiver to do. So guys like E.J. Williams, who's not wrong to say what he said, but you want the reputation, the future of the Georgia program to be one of those things where wide receivers don't have to say, you know, they're a run-heavy school. You know, they don't throw the ball that much. The presence of a guy like Dominic Blaylock can certainly change that. Now, it's also worth pointing out here a couple of things. In terms of the receivers already on the Georgia roster, first of all, Kirby Smart, it should be pointed out, likes this group a lot. And my obsession with five-star names like Pickens or Blaylock or Hazelwood before that, my obsession with this kind of stuff, from Kirby Smart's perspective, sometimes when it comes to the guys that really pan out and do big things in a Georgia uniform, sometimes it's not always the five-star guy who ends up doing that. And Kirby Smart let us all know that back in the summer before the 2018 season began. Here's some of what Kirby Smart said then.
We're going to play the guys that play the best. We're going to play the guys that practice the best. We're going to play the guys that bust their butt and go out there and help the team. And there's a lot of them that are helping on special teams. I'm very pleased with our receiver room. Top to bottom, I think they're competing hard, they're playing hard, they're making good plays, and they're really helping on special teams. But it's what they came in as. I'm not into that. I'm into the team environment. Can you help our team? And if you can, then I'm going to reward you by helping our team. But not, I can't promise you a number of touches and catches. The goal is to win the game.
It's also worth pointing out the confidence that Kirby Smart showed in those receivers, the guys that were on the Georgia roster this season. At the beginning of the year, his quarterback, Jake Fromm, essentially echoed that same sentiment at the end of the year, going into the SEC championship game against Alabama, knowing they had the possibility of facing some man coverage there that day. Fromm said, I'll take my receivers against any defensive backs in the country, even the team that ended up winning the SEC championship this season. Here is what Fromm said about that.
I feel very comfortable with our guys anytime they're manned up on anybody. From all the work we do throughout the summer, throughout fall camp, throughout the season, our guys are making plays right now. They're doing an awesome job, you know, creating separation versus man coverage, whether it's zone, whether it's man, you know, our guys are doing a great job.
So listen, with all due respect to Fromm there and Smart there, I understand what they're both saying, and I think to a degree they are both right in what they do say. I would suggest that my opinion on this is not, you know, the opposite of theirs. It's just slightly different in terms of what I'm choosing to focus on. It's great to have a committee of really good receivers, which is what I think Georgia had in 2018, and to a certain extent, what they also had in 2017 as well. But to change the minds of guys like E.J. Williams or maybe George Pickens or, you know, other 2020 wide receivers that we're going to talk a lot about in the months ahead, to really change their mind about Georgia being the place that elite receivers want to play, you've got to have more than just a committee of good receivers. You've got to have a breakout name. Now, maybe Riley Ridley helps that a bit in the draft. Maybe he gets drafted really high, and that raises the reputation of the Georgia wide receivers. Or maybe a guy like Blaylock shines in his first year in the Georgia program. Either way, there are some steps that Georgia can take. And if they do take them, then the Georgia receiving core may be viewed as favorable in the recruiting trail as some of the other position groups are. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you. Thank you for being with us live today on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we are available as a podcast pretty much wherever you can find podcasts, including we post the show every day at theworldfamousdognation.com. We kind of like to think of the podcast as sort of the on-demand way to listen to the program. You know, you don't have to be live. You don't have to be in the moment. You can go back and check it out later on. And many of you find that to be convenient. We really appreciate that. And by the way, whether you watch video, listen radio, participate in the podcast, whatever you do, if you enjoy Dog Nation Daily, we'd love to meet you and speak to you in person next week. It's 1 week from today. We are making our very first appearance, first Dog Nation event we've done in Kennesaw ever before at the Marlowe's Tavern in Kennesaw. It's 1 week from today from 6 to 8 p.m. Right there at the Marlowe's in Kennesaw, 745 Chastain Road in Kennesaw. What a great event this is going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. That's going to be right there, very close to the beginning of the early signing period, or I should say the old school National Signing Day in February. Jeff Sintel is going to be with us. Some really great insight into what Georgia's going to do to finish off its class. Jeff Sintel will provide that, and you're going to want to be a part of that with us a week from today. Marlowe's in Kennesaw from 6 to 8 p.m., 745 Chastain Road. And if you're listening, I'll say that one more time so you can write it down. 745 Chastain Road. Put that into your navigation device and come on out and see us next week from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Marlowe's in Kennesaw. How much fun is that going to be? Now, speaking of Jeff Sintel, we're going to get to him in just a moment as part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all today. Also, later on the program, you may have heard the Kentucky guy take a little bit of a shot at Dog Nation yesterday. We'll have a brief, rebuttal to that coming up later on in our program. Before any of that, though, let me go around the doghouse here, brought to you by Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, and I'll tell you more about how you can get in touch with Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, though, the big issue on yesterday's show was the addition of Georgia's very impressive new defensive backs coach, Charlton Warren. I think it's a show of strength from Georgia to kind of go out and take him from Florida. We played some audio yesterday of some of the things that Warren said about his background. This is a pretty impressive guy. I think he aids Georgia's recruiting efforts automatically. I think announcing that hire with Kyrie Lam on campus for the official visit was one of Kirby Smart's most, I guess, shrewd moves, depending on your perspective. Almost a dastardly move to be able to do that, the way that Kirby Smart did that. And yet, when it comes to the when it comes to the SEC, listen, the guys that you're trying to kick around, they don't stay down forever. They're going to try to make their response, and they're going to try to get back into competition. Georgia takes Charlton Warren. Florida acts quickly. I saw this tweet from Dan Mullen announcing the hiring of Torian Gray, a guy that spent the last 2 years in the NFL as a defensive backs coach. Long time before that at Virginia Tech, he was Florida's defensive backs coach also in 2016. Mullen tweets out, "Welcome back to DBU, Torian Gray. Excited to have you and your family in Gainesville." This is a guy that's got a pretty good reputation on the coaching trail, and Florida's already trying to spin this as a big move for the program in the absence of losing Charlton Warren. I saw one of their reporters, Luke Stampini, who works for 24/7 Sports. He kind of put this out on Twitter as, hey, you know, this may be an example of Florida actually getting an upgrade over Charlton Warren. Stampini says they clearly got a good one, perhaps an upgrade, he says, when it comes to Torian Gray. So the spin control's already out in Gainesville when it comes to this. There's no doubt that Gray's got a pretty nice coaching resume as an upgrade over Charlton Warren. I don't know that I'd go that far, but I will say that when it comes to the battle over Kyrie Lam, you know, it certainly may not be, and we'll let Jeff Sintel tell us more about this in just a moment, it may not be one of those things where, you know, getting Charlton Warren alone is the checkmate that leaves to Kyra Lam becoming a member of Georgia's 2019 class. By hiring Gray as quickly as it did, maybe this is Florida's way of staying in this competition for Elam, obviously given the fact that Elam does have some ties to the University of Florida. So this, for me, bears a story very much worth watching here, as these two rivals that haven't always been recruiting rivals, haven't always chased the same players all that much, but in the case of Kyra Lam, that's definitely what's going down here. Georgia and Florida both looking to acquire this big four-star defensive back, and they both hope that recent defensive back coaching hires give them a chance to do that. It's Around the Doghouse here, brought to you by Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. It's in beautiful Towns County, Georgia. I had a chance to be there a couple of months ago. You want to talk about just one of the great spots to go and relax and unwind, especially, you know, this time of year. I think there's nothing prettier than the winter in the beautiful North Georgia mountains. I love the views there. You can just see forever. Got the crackling fire in the fireplace. It's an unbelievable resort and a great way for you to get away. I know a lot of you probably just enjoyed that for the MLK holiday weekend we just came off of. You got President's Day coming up. You got a lot of times to sort of sneak away and enjoy that time there at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. I cannot recommend it enough, and I'd love to have you check it out if you've never been there before. Go to BrasstownValley.com. That's the address once again, BrasstownValley.com. You can find out about some special offers they have, some terrific things they have going on there, and why it's the kind of place that you and your special someone want to sneak away to, or your whole family, play some golf, enjoy the lake nearby. Just really, really great stuff there. Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, brasstownvalley.com is the website to go to find out more about that. All right, we are busy on today's program. I told you about some coaching moves in the SEC. There are a couple of others also worth your attention. I'll give you those later on as well. But for now, here on Dog Nation Daily, let's find out more from Jeff Sintel about the latest of the 2019 recruiting class for Georgia. Elam Pickens, everybody else. Let's welcome him to the program right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Time for Marlowe's Tavern Tell-All with Jeff Sintel. And as we said, next Tuesday, 1 week from today, Dog Nation makes its first ever appearance at the Kennesaw location. Cannot wait for that, for our countdown to signing day next Tuesday, 6 to 8 p.m. Jeff Sintel will be there, and there'll be a lot of juicy stuff to get into there then. Plenty to get into right now as well. So, Jeff Sintel, with that in mind, good morning. Thanks for being with us here on the program today, and I hope that this Tuesday finds you doing well.
Hey, Brandon, man, it was a great Tuesday, man. I got everybody's got things to do. It's a busy week. My daughter's getting braces on today, so I'm juggling that with a lot of stories that are going to go up on Dog Nation today. Might put a two or three or four spot up there today on Dog Nation, so everybody needs to be looking out for that.
Yeah, we'll look forward to checking out DogNation.com for more on that. And Jeff, I want to actually begin our Marlowe's Tavern Tell-All by looking at something else that you've recently written at DogNation.com, a quote that really jumped out at me. And as I said before you joined us, I don't criticize the recruit for saying this. I sort of criticize the program for having this established as its narrative right now and its reputation. E.J. Williams talking about Georgia being a run-heavy school and a school that doesn't throw the ball very much. Now, that doesn't seem to be the kind of thing that's going to dissuade him from maybe choosing Georgia. It seems like Georgia's right there in the mix. But the point that I made before you joined us is, Jeff, that is a branding issue that UGA's got to change. There's no reason why the presence of really good offensive linemen and really good running backs, there's no reason that should turn off wide receivers. If anything, they ought to want to play with a team that's got that much talent, because it ought to be opening up other opportunities for them there. But for some reason, either because Georgia's not selling itself well enough or because recruits just aren't buying it, for some reason, that seems to be the narrative, that Georgia's not the place to be for wide receivers. What did you make of what Williams said to you, and what do you make of the overall narrative when it includes Georgia and the wide receiver position right now?
Now, Brandon, this is you, man, just channeling some of that inner Munson, man. Sometimes I hear out of you sometimes. So you looked at that story about a guy with Clemson and Dream School, still his favorite team. And I tried to, his thoughts there about the run game and the throw game and how Georgia is a good fit for him, except they don't throw it enough. You know, that needed to be in there. But this was also a young man who gets it. If you saw that passage in the story where he talked about Todd Gurley and how Gurley brought fire to the backfield and how much he likes to block, I didn't want to bring up heartburn from anybody with the 2019 class about receiver recruiting. This, to me, just seems like a guy who gets Georgia football, and maybe gets Georgia football in the way that a lot of our listeners here today would.
Yeah, so you're right. There's a lot more to the story than that just one quote, but the quote to me is certainly, I guess, newsy from the standpoint that kind of fits into some of the other stuff that's been going on. I mean, I hate to drag the Hazelwood name back in this a little bit, but I can't help but think back to that quote he once gave you when you're like, hey, how's Georgia tell you they're going to use you? And he kind of shrugs his shoulders and says, I don't know. I guess they say I'll be the X receiver, or, you know, whatever it was that Hazelwood said. You know, there is a part of me that wonders, is Georgia just not selling itself to receivers as well as it sells itself to offensive linemen and outside linebackers and inside linebackers and running backs and now seemingly defensive backs? Is this just an issue that Georgia's not selling itself to receivers as well as it could be?
Well, I guess it would be great if, you know, there were more 300-yard gains, but I still think the perception issue is maybe something folks need to get their arms around. I think he threw like right at 30 touchdown passes last year, and there's the notion there that Georgia doesn't throw the ball around enough. And, you know, that's one thing that, you know, everybody's going to take a look at. But Georgia's identity is always going to be a run-first, a physical downhill football team. That's the way they're built. But I think with Georgia, you know, you look at what's happening now at the receiver position. You know, are they gonna close with another receiver? I think, you know, small prediction here is I think that graduate transfer card that Kirby Smart usually plays every summer. He likes to have a scholarship in his back pocket per se to go after a grad transfer. I think the wide receiver spot would kind of be very ripe for that, because that would be a 1 year scholarship, finish out the year, and then 2020 receivers. We're going to start writing about a lot of 2020 targets this week, especially 2020 five-stars and 2020 guys. You know, there's a lot of names right now. There's a guy like, you know, Dazzlin Worsham, the Alabama receiver commitment, was in Athens on Junior Day over the weekend. So was Eddie Williams. So was E.J. Williams, excuse me. You've got Justin Robinson. That's the Eagles Landing Christian Academy receiver who's 6'4" and, you know, sat next to Kirby Smart at the basketball game, the Kentucky basketball game. Rico Powers down in Savannah. Julian Fleming, actually, the number one receiver in the country, actually told me something very interesting that I thought ratcheted up Georgia's shot just a little bit there with him. The receiver is going to be another big year for Georgia in 2020. Lots of 2020 news is starting to trickle out. You're starting to hear things about where guys are leaning. But I know there's still some focus on 2019 and how Georgia closes out this class with maybe two or three more spots.
All right, I want to talk about Charlton Warren and Kyrie Lam and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I guess eventually this conversation also works its way to Florida's response by hiring Torian Gray now as its new defensive backs coach. But let me start with the Warren announcement over the weekend. You'd been very clear, Jeff, that you thought it would be a big deal if Georgia hosted Elam and couldn't tell him who its defensive backs coach was going to be. Well, as it turns out, in dramatic fashion, Georgia told the world while Elam was on campus. Is that as big of a I guess flex move to you as it appears to be to me and many of our audience right now? There are a lot of Georgia fans who, you know, that really brought the wow factor. You know, Warren's a very impressive coaching hire in his own regard, but to announce it with Elam on campus, as I said, that almost took the negativity of the timing. Why is it taking so long? And turn the timing into a positivity. You know, the fact that you're able to announce that coinciding with the Elam visit. What did you make of Warren's hire and how it, you know, potentially impacted Kyrie Lam, given that it happened while he was on campus?
Yeah, I think there's things with Georgia and Kyrie Lam that have always been very strong, very concrete, even before Mel Tucker's move to Colorado, even now with Charlton Warren as well. I think Georgia is, you know, what do you say? You like to say, Brandon, your want to say 4D chess at times, that what the coach at Georgia plays. I think this was good for two reasons. I think one, it filled Georgia with an able recruiter in the SEC who has a lot of relationships in the SEC. And everybody wonders, was the Warren move a checkmate move for Kyrie Lam? I would beg to differ with everyone out there, because I think it's a checkmate move for not just a guy like Kyrie Lam, but guys like Lewis Seen loved him, Tyree Stevenson loved him. Remember, Tyree Stevenson was committed to Florida for a time. And you also think about names like Fred Davis, the class of 22, guys like Legend class of 2020, that's the five-star corner out of Jacksonville. You think about Legend Cavazos. I think it was a multitude of names, not just Kyrie Lam, because I think Kyrie Lam had some strong Georgia ties even prior to Charlton Warren. But the other thing this is that it strengthens Georgia, and it also weakens Florida. And I think that's a 1-2 punch there especially given the timing, you know, timing of it all, underneath the umbrella of Charlton Warren's a good, well-respected teacher of the game and football coach. So when it hits every one of those boxes, it had to be a win-win-win for Georgia. But on the flip side of it, let's kind of balance out Jeff with some BA here. You called it a flex move, Brandon. Just exactly how big of a move, how big of a flex move was that for you when you saw that pop across your timeline over the weekend?
No, it was massive. It was, I think it, for me, checked every box in terms of being a coach that we all knew a little bit about. It had the, you know, ripple effect that, you know, it's the kind of topic that had the potential to trend on social media. This is not hiring some trivial name. This is hiring a guy from one of your biggest rivals with a head-to-head recruiting battle kind of, you know, factoring into this. You know, in terms of my overall excitement about it, Jeff, it was really the same as it would have been had Georgia hired a Derek Ansley or a Corey Raymond, two of the other big names that I had in mind for a role like this. In terms of, you know, where I was on Saturday evening when I learned about this, my level of excitement as a fan was just as high for Warren as it would have been for the other two guys who I had said I'd wanted for this. And based on the reaction I was getting from other fans on Twitter, it certainly seems like most fans were kind of with me on this of, you better believe it, Kirby went out and did it. This really felt like a win as opposed to avoiding a loss. This really felt like a very proactive, aggressive move on the part of Kirby Smart, the kind of thing for which, as you know, he's become famous.
Yeah, moving the news story here, moving the news cycle forward here, I'm going to be very curious to see when the contract details are released for Charlton Warren. I don't think those have been released yet, but when those do get released, I will wonder if, A, Georgia had to throw a Brinks truck at him to get him to leave Florida, or it was just maybe a nominal raise, just but for the fact to work under a defensive-minded head coach, a defensive system that Smart has in place where he could kind of be groomed to be a coordinator, because he's going to coach some fantastic players, by the way. I mean, it's no secret that, you know, Georgia could have four or five corners next year that could start for a lot of teams in the SEC, including even Alabama, which went through a secondary rebuild during the 2018 season as well. Be very interesting. If it's a big number, well deserved. But if it's a nominal number, then that also says something about the right to come to Georgia, the right to coach underneath Kirby Smart and this staff and this system. Warren's also an Atlanta, Georgia native, and you know, I wonder if we'll ever hear that. Really, he just wanted to get away from the brunt and the power in the, and I guess the mammoth size of that Gator Hater countdown. I think that's what he wanted to get away from, Brandon.
He wanted to be on the other side. I like that. He wanted to be on the other side of that thing for change. I don't mind that at all, Jeff. That's a really good thought. It's Jeff Sintel as part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all here on Dog Nation Daily. By the way, if you want to know more about big events happening in the Marlowe's Tavern near you or special offers they provide, become a Marlowe's insider by texting the word Marlowe's, that's M-A-R-L-O-W-S, to 24242. The number once again is 24242. Text the word Marlowe's, M-A-R-L-O-W-S, no apostrophe, and you can become a Marlowe's Tavern insider. All right, Jeff, a couple more things on the Warren Elam stuff, and then I want to hit a couple other issues very quickly before we let you go. I made the point yesterday that some coaches recruit players, some coaches recruit parents. You probably want both kinds of coaches as a part of your recruiting arsenal. For me, when you hear about the military background, when the no-nonsense attitude guy educated at the Air Force Academy, to me, Charlton Warren is a coach that recruits parents. And I think that's an important thing for Georgia to have. Mamas are going to love the idea of their sons being in his care for 3 to 4 years. That's what I like about Warren a lot, is I think he really goes to work and does a massive, massive recruiting job on the parents because they want to feel good about the program. And I think a guy of Warren's background just absolutely must be incredibly impressive for them in terms of the quality of person that Georgia's hiring for its coaching staff right now.
I think the other thing is, look where Charlton Warren's resume has led him. So he's been in the SEC East with Florida. Before that, he was in the SEC East with Tennessee. So he's definitely seen what the conference is all about. He's seen, you know, the big stadiums. He's seen the huge game plans. He's had to go up against some, you know, terrific offenses. And I think that's going to help. It's not like Georgia's bringing in a guy. You know, you look at it, Corey Raymond. You look at it, Derek Ansley. Never really much of a candidate, it seems like, but you look at it now with Charlton Warren. So you have a lot of names that are familiar with what's going on in the SEC, used to recruiting the very biggest names And again, you know, Torian Gray, people don't remember this, but Torian Gray was at Florida a couple years prior. And it's funny how you remember names like William Poole, D'Angelo Gibbs. You remember guys like that talking about how what type of recruiter Torian Gray was and how effective he was for Florida. Gray then moved on to the Redskins, I believe. But now he's back in Florida, where it seems like a, you know, back-and-forth career move there for him as well. But now he's under the big boot print, that hobnail boot print of that Gator Hater countdown, and he's going to have to get used to that one as well, because it looks a lot different than when he was back in Florida.
Well, let me ask you about Gray here for a moment, Jeff, before we turn the page on something else. I mean, the Florida people are already trying to spin this as a big-time hire, even though it appears to be a guy going backwards in his career after having spent the last 2 years in the NFL. But they're going to spin this as a big-time hire. I already have heard from a lot of Florida fans who think that they're still going to sign Kyra Lam. That's what the fans are saying when it comes to that. I mean, what do you make of acting as quickly as they did by hiring a coach that does admittedly have a lot of experience going back to his time at Virginia Tech and knows the SEC a little bit, does have the NFL pedigree, to be fair and balanced, I guess, as much as I possibly can be? How much does it help Florida with a guy like Elam to strike as quickly as it did by bringing in Torian Gray?
Well, it's definitely a name. A lot of guys know him. Everybody, I think every Florida fan in the world trotted out those stats about where the pass defense was ranked under Gray and how good those guys were, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Everybody really trots out stats and pass defensive stats now, and really they're based on the type of players that were there in the program at the time. And I think really these hires here are all about relationships, and also the January timeline was pretty quick for Florida. I give them that, because now's the time when most of the 2019 class has been put to bed that everybody starts working on the 2020 class. You know, Georgia hosted a select group of elite juniors, just a few, this past weekend in Athens. And now they're going to do the same thing again this weekend in Athens with some more elite names, some more out-of-state names. And Clemson's doing the very same thing. Clemson's bringing in a lot of huge targets for the 2020 class this weekend as well. You got names like Brian Brzee. You got names like Miles Murphy, Julian Clinning. A lot of big names are heading to Clemson as well as, you know, some of the biggest fish in the Southeast are ratcheting up for 2020 already with what looks like both barrels.
All right, let me do two quick 2019 things before we wrap up our Marlo Stavern tell-all for today. And let me begin with Mark Anthony Richards. And I thought your piece on Richards was really interesting at DogNation.com, coming off what appears to have been a very good visit for him at the University of Georgia. And the description he gets about how he would be used certainly is pretty enticing. Jeff, here's where my feelings are complicated, though, and I really do need for you to kind of, you know, correct fact from fiction for me on this. Richards is a top 100 player in the entire country. Who wouldn't want a top 100 player on your roster, especially if you've got room for it? But it's the room issue that I guess have some questions about here. Georgia's limited with what it can sign in the remainder of the 2019 cycle, and certainly I would say that, you know, for a guy like Elam, if you can get Elam, you want him to take one of those scholarship spots, and then you sort of decide, well, what else is left there at that point in time? And then if Richards is more of a running back than anything else, I know he's been kind of described as sort of the freak, but it also sort of feels like James Cook does some of the things that Mark Anthony Richards would likely do for Georgia, and I don't want to do anything to log jam the chances of a Kendall Milton or a Zachary Evans choosing Georgia for 2020. I am by no means telling you that Georgia shouldn't want Mark Anthony Richards. There's probably a lot of reasons why it definitely should. But in terms of the numbers part of all this, isn't the story a little more complicated than that?
Well, two things. These are my immediate reactions. Number one, let me unpack a few things. Number one, Brandon, my man, when you start reciting off those five-star running backs for 2020, you need to throw that name Marshawn Lloyd out of the Nassau Catholic.
Okay.
Squarely in the midst of that, I think his pecking order has jumped as the number four running back, even ahead of Zachary Evans right now.
Okay.
Especially in the eyes of Georgia fans. Number two, this is just a different Georgia. I was telling somebody that this casual conversation that bumped into me in the grocery store the other day. And I was basically saying that this is really different, the way it is covering Georgia's recruiting now compared to two or three years ago. It used to be guys would come on these visits, and you would sit there, and you would talk to them, and you would be like, the fan base would want to know how they're feeling about Georgia. Does Georgia have a chance to sign them? Well, now it's totally different, man. It's now, will Georgia take him? Do they fit into Georgia? will Georgia sign them? Is that a committable offer? Do they get to come on the program? That's a pretty seismic change in about 2 to 3 years here with Georgia recruiting. It's no longer, will this great prospect consider Georgia? It's, is Georgia going to take that guy if he wants to come? That's the different thing here. And for me, it's a different way to look at Georgia recruiting all across the board. Brandon, I don't think this staff operates anymore about, we're going to worry about 2020. What if we take this guy? What they do now with these recruiting cycles and these player infusions of talent is they sit there and they load up the bus, they load up each running back room, wide receiver room, and they say, do we have the players for this season to go down there to go through 2019 and win a natty? And I'm going to use the young people's term there for national title, a natty. That's what they're doing. You know, James Cook has a certain fit in the Georgia offense, but what happens if he gets hurt? What happens if he's really not the fit anymore? They need somebody in order to play that position. They need a guy like Mark Anthony Richards. Let's face it, very stark reality here that next year's running back room is going to miss DeAndre Swift. It's going to miss Brian Herrien. I'm talking about the 2020 running back room as it relates to recruiting. So then Georgia will have James Cook maybe, Kenny McIntosh, Zamir White. Georgia wants to get 5 or 6 backs at all time for that running back room, and that's what they're going to work off of. And I don't think how many they take in 2019 is really a concern about affecting 2020 as more. That's not a program that wants to look a year ahead anymore. This is a program, the Georgia Bulldogs, that look to make sure they've got all the shelves stocked to go win a national championship this season. If they feel they need another running back, that's what they're going to get.
Now, Jeff, normally the chasm between your coolness and hipness and mine is vast, and yet in this case, I do believe I've got to correct you in one thing. I don't believe the kids are calling them natties anymore. I think the new term, the kids are calling them ships as opposed to championships. That's the kids' term now, right? Connor, who is much younger and cooler, he says no. I see that on Twitter all the time. They call them ships now, right? You got to go to the ship, right? That's what the kids say these days.
No. Isn't it? Brandon, if going to the title game means you're going to the ship, but if you want to win it all and hoist up that big trophy, that's called a natty.
Oh, so the game itself is the ship, as in the championship game, but the actual trophy is not the ship. Okay, so that's I'll correct myself on that. We got about 30 seconds left, Jeff. I've kept you really, really long. Brett Scythe of the tight end, when it comes to needs and availability and scholarship stuff, he visits. Georgia would seemingly need a tight end. Nada's going to the NFL, and Luke Ford transfers. Is this a no-brainer between Georgia and Scythe, or is Georgia still considering other options, and is Scythe are considering other schools?
Sounds like Georgia is his leader coming out of that visit. Previous leader was TCU. That was to be expected. You saw the synergy of attention late for Georgia. He's one of the top remaining tight ends that are unsigned in the class. He's going to visit Alabama this weekend. That's another taste test he needs to see about. But Scythe seems like a guy. If Georgia has two, if Georgia has three spots, that will be very interesting. If they take two or three, then maybe Scyther's name comes into the mix. Maybe it's Scyther and Elam. You know, that's really something to look at there. I think Elam is a take no matter what. Going to have to watch that George Pickens situation there, just being honest. And then is it Scyther? Then is it Mark Anthony Richards? I think that's what the staff is going to try and figure out.
Well, now, hold on now. You say you're going to have to watch that George Pickens situation. Is that watch it for a good reason or watch it for a bad reason? What do you mean by that?
I think that is a very complicated recruitment, Brandon, and sure. I think that's something where Georgia, should they sign, or anybody should they sign George Pickens, they might have to celebrate a few things. They might have to celebrate him signing. They might have to celebrate him eventually getting there. They may have to celebrate beating out or flipping or whatever. There's just a lot of things to look at there right now with George Pickens. Not the only thing that could make it any more complicated would be if he was a Major League Pro Baseball prospect.
Understandable, Jeff. Thanks for that. One more time before we let you go, let me remind folks that a week from today, we're back in Kennesaw, actually for the first time ever in Kennesaw, back in the Marlowe's Tavern, but our first appearance at the Kennesaw location. It's our countdown to signing day event next Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Let me show the address one more time on the screen, if you don't mind. 745 Chastain Road in Kennesaw. That's 745 Chastain Road in Kennesaw, a week from today, Tuesday, January 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. Please make plans to be with us there. It is going to be a great time. Jeff, thanks for your time here on the program today. As you promised earlier, we'll look forward to reading a bunch from you at DogNation.com, and we'll see you tomorrow afternoon as well as Before the Hedges returns. A little bit of recruiting talk tomorrow afternoon as well. We'll look forward to that too, Jeff.
Hi, Brandon. Sorry, man. I had to come in halftime of your show today because I had some very good news to take on the phone.
Well, that's always a nice thing to hear. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Let me correct myself on one thing. If you're watching on video, when we were talking about Mark Anthony Richards, I have him listed as a four-star running back. I guess the more accurate description right there is probably four-star athlete. I think that's a really interesting recruitment nonetheless. I mean, it sounds like the plan for him in Georgia would be to take some handoffs and be used a little bit like a running back. I made the comparison between he and James Cook. That may be a little bit of the profile that he kind of fits in college, but it's probably more accurate to say that he's an athlete than a running back. But it really is kind of weird. He's one of the 100, you know, according to the 24/7 Sports composite, he's like the number 99 player in the country. That's a pretty elite. It's a pretty elite recruit to have on your campus. And yet, you know, just to be frank here, I'm trying to, you know, move the pieces around the chessboard to say, you know, where does he fit in, you know, given everything that Georgia's trying to do here. It sounds like Jeff says that, you know, listen, Georgia's going to bring in the best players it can and figure it all out later on. And certainly when you talk about best players available, Mark Anthony Richards definitely fits into that conversation. So that may be a story worth watching. By the way, we are rolling towards the Super Bowl, not this Sunday, but next Sunday. I would suggest it's probably the biggest gambling event of the entire year worldwide. And, well, you want to be involved in that. You know, when you're hanging around with your friends there, watching the game at the big party, you want to have some action in on the game. You want to be a part of that conversation, right? And so if you've never gotten involved before, let me tell you this. You want to get involved with a group that you can trust, a group that's going to give you that fast, no-hassle payout when you win. That's why here at Dog Nation Daily, we would only recommend my friends and my bookie, because they are known as the fast, no-hassle payout when you do win. And my bookie's got an even better offer for you right now as you head towards the big game two Sundays from now. Your first deposit can be matched up to 50%, but you got to go right now to take advantage of that. And the way that works is you're essentially a winner before you place your first bet. You get the 50% bonus right when you sign up. You get more money in your account than you started with, and then the action's all there for you. You play, you win, you get paid. But you got to remember a couple of things. Type in my bookie. That's MYBOOKIE. Type in my bookie in your browser. The internet will do the work for you. And then when you get to my bookie, use the promo code DOGNATION to get your first deposit matched up to 50%. Then, as I said, after that, you play, you win, you get paid. Here's what I'm hoping here on Dog Nation Daily. As we get closer to the game, can we do some prop bets? Can we kind of look at some of that a little bit? Now, I know that most of y'all want to keep Georgia football as much as possible. But as we mentioned this, look into a couple prop bets here and there. I think it'd be a lot of fun, too. So it's all there for you at my bookie as we head towards the big game two Sundays from now. All right, a couple of SEC stories that I want to get to. And then before we close out, I will have a little bit of a response to maybe what some of y'all heard on the Feinbaum show yesterday as the guy up in Kentucky was kind of bashing Dog Nation a little bit. We will address that. I want to take care of some serious business before we get there. Jeremy Pruitt, the Tennessee coach, has responded to D'Angelo Gibbs, who is officially now on the Tennessee roster. I thought the quote from Pruitt was interesting in at least one regard. Pruitt says of Gibbs that D'Angelo is a guy that I knew, our staff knew in recruiting when he was coming out of high school. Here's where it gets kind of interesting. He's a guy that can play on either side of the ball. He's very tough and has unique ball skills. He's a very instinctive player. He has size and speed. We are happy to have him at Tennessee. It's really the part about him being able to play on either side of the ball that's interesting. Now, I think that Gibbs, as many of you are aware, probably has bigger issues than what position is he going to play. But in terms of the position that he might play, there are always plenty of Georgia fans who said that he could have had a home at wide receiver at Georgia. He was obviously very good at that in high school. It looks like, based on what Pruitt's saying here, they're at least going to try him at wide receiver. This may be something very similar to some of the stuff they've done in the past with guys like Alante Taylor, where they float wide receiver as a possibility, as a way of maybe getting him on campus one way or another. Who really knows about that? But it does look like Tennessee is indeed going to give Gibbs a chance, assuming it all works out and he can be a part of that program, going to give him a chance there at wide receiver. Let me also address this. John Talty, writer for AL.com, goes in the Feinbaum show yesterday. We've been talking for a while now about this crazy way in which Nick Saban is cycling through assistant coaches, seemingly replacing all of the, you know, young recruiters from last year's staff with more established, you know, veteran coaches. It seems to be an example of what I believe is a short-term thinking on the part of Nick Saban. I believe the beginning of the end for him is emerging here, where all of a sudden he's not building based on a five-year plan. He's trying to load up and win as much as he can with a talented roster that he does have, while he still has Tua Tagovailoa, for instance. Apparently, there's some other thinking on this that's starting to fall in place. John Talty goes on the Feinbaum show yesterday. Feinbaum tweeted about this. I want to show you the tweet. Talty says, what you're seeing here is a course correction. You are getting more experienced coaches, Talty says. Nick Saban realized he went too young and had too many guys that were just recruiters and not coaches. Now, I find that to be very interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, it almost seems like a panic, knee-jerk reaction to Saban getting out-recruited for the 2018 class, but also now maybe a panic, knee-jerk reaction to losing a game to Clemson. In the fashion they did, we haven't really seen Alabama get blown out, so maybe some sort of response that is necessary. But all of a sudden, you see the, I think, tendency to micromanage Saban, now trying to micromanage on both sides of this issue. And I do believe the clock is ticking for Saban's future at Alabama. And it's just a matter of, can a team like Georgia be the one to send him into retirement, or does it have to wait and benefit from the landscape in the SEC once he's gone? That could be a very interesting thing to think of. All right, a couple other recruiting issues I want to get to before we wrap up the SEC through. First of all, I saw Jamias Griffin, who arguably was among the best players in the state of Georgia this year, as a running back from Rome. He is decommitted from NC State. And I guess he recently took a visit to Auburn. I think Georgia Tech may be somewhat in the mix on this, maybe a little bit too. But Griffin's one of those guys that people who saw him say, that kid can play. Is he going to find a home? Which, with all due respect to the folks in Raleigh, a bigger and better home than they are at NC State. Looks like he indeed is going to consider other places. And this may be an issue where, you know, Auburn is going to be a little creative with its running back recruitment. They took DJ Williams back in December. Maybe looking at Griffin right now. That could be an interesting story worth watching. And by the way, speaking of Auburn, this happened the other day, and I guess I didn't really realize. We've talked about Austin Kendall, the possibility that he's going to West Virginia. I do want to make you aware, he actually did commit to West Virginia. So I addressed on the show yesterday, at least wanted to follow up on that, that Kendall is indeed committed to West Virginia. So I had a chance to go to Auburn, visited Auburn, but once Oklahoma stopped blocking his transfer as a grad transfer to West Virginia, that is apparently what Austin Kendall's going to do, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, quick story for a moment. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, there was this weird dust-up before Georgia announced James Coley as its offensive coordinator, that Georgia might have been in contact with a Kentucky assistant, Eddie Grant. Now, Dog Nation's reporting on this has indicated that Georgia talked to Grant, but a position coach role, and never offered the offensive coordinator job to him. In Kentucky, there's a radio host named Matt Jones, who's apparently going to put himself on a hill and then, you know, expire on that hill, that somehow Eddie Graham was offered the offensive coordinator job at Georgia, full control over the Georgia offense, and Eddie Graham, because he's so deeply devoted to the University of Kentucky, rebuffed Georgia's offer, and he's going to stay at Lexington, and then they're going to write history together over the course of the next few years. That is the yarn that has been spun out of Lexington on this. And yesterday, Jones goes on the Feinbaum show and seemed to want to pick a little bit of a fight with Dog Nation over this. This was the tail end of the interview. Many of you have mentioned this to me, so I thought it was at least worth mentioning here. Here is Matt Jones trying to shoehorn, I don't know, some sort of beef, some sort of rivalry into the end of his interview with Feinbaum. Take a listen to this.
I was prepared because I thought you were going to come on here and grill me about Dog Nation, and you got the whole thing and you didn't do it, so I appreciate it.
Well, that would be my final question.
Did I just set myself up there for that?
Well, no, you just, I was snoozing, so you woke me up. What's the deal?
So Georgia offered Eddie Grand to be their offensive coordinator, and he turned it down, Kentucky's offensive coordinator, and the Georgia people, understandably, did not want to be seen as having gotten turned down by a Kentucky offensive coordinator, so they got all their reporters to say it didn't happen, and Georgia fans have just been angry, and all these Dog Nation people call, and it's been very funny to watch, because I thought, if you're Georgia, why do you care? You guys are above it all. But they just have had some fans kind of lose their minds in the last couple of weeks because they lost their offensive coordinator to Tennessee and got turned back down by Kentucky's offensive coordinator.
You're speaking of just Dog fans, not that website, Dog Nation.
No, no, but that website has been part of it, doubt. Their people were very much like, oh, the KSR guy made it up.
Look, it's not on. This is not a rivalry between Dog Nation and some radio guy in Kentucky, because the honest truth is Jones' beef isn't with Dog Nation at all. If you want to go back and look at his Twitter feed when all this happened, remember, he tweeted Football Scoop, a very respected website that does a lot of coaching, you know, rumors and things like that, as essentially verifying his report about Eddie Grant. But then Jones has to go back and delete that tweet later on because Football Scoop dug into this independently on their own and eventually changed his own reporting on this, essentially saying it was an exaggeration that Eddie Grant had been offered the offensive coordinator job at the University of Kentucky. I mean, listen, this is a much bigger deal in the Bluegrass State than it is around Dog Nation. I can certainly promise you that. I guess this is going to be a big deal there. So congratulations to the Wildcats for finding a way to hold on to Eddie Grant. I'm sure you guys will have a great time in the Belt Bowl with him next December. I did really like, though, one of our Dog Nation daily listeners and viewers who I thought had the best response to this on Twitter not too long ago. It's our buddy Joel Sidney Kelly, who tweeted out a screen grab. Source tells KSR Eddie Grant was offered a position on an alien aircraft, but he's leaning towards staying at UK. And then Joel's got his picture there. He's really good on the Photoshop stuff, and he's a regular in the Dog Nation forum at forum.dognation.com. I thought that was really funny. And then, frankly, this whole thing is really, really funny. And as I said, probably not that big of a deal to anybody around Dog Nation. What is a big deal, though, is our Gator Hater Updater, and I'm really happy to let you know it has now been 815 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten UGA. That number's going up, and we'll see you tomorrow.